eagle has landed.
You are about to embark upon the great crusade.
Ask not what your country can do for you.
I consider myself the luckiest man.
I have a dream today.
That the only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
Hello, you're listening to Speaking of History, the podcast that has a focus on education, technology, and history. My name is Eric Langhorst. I'm an 8th grade American history teacher in Liberty, Missouri, and you're listening to podcast episode number 97, recorded on June 29th, 2007. Well, I'm doing some podcasts about some of the things that happened down in Atlanta at the NEC conference last week, and I was very fortunate to be able to present at NEC this year. I submitted a proposal and was able to do a poster session, and the title of my poster session was Using Web 2.0 Tools in the Social Studies Classroom. And I was able to present on Wednesday, pretty much the last day of the conference for most people, between noon and 2 o'clock. And I really didn't know what to expect too much. I've done some poster sessions in the past at some different regional conferences and state conferences, and sometimes you get a great response and you get a lot of really great conversations, and then sometimes there aren't too many people. So it depends a lot on the amount of traffic that you have going through that area. And obviously with NEC, 13,000 participants, you have a pretty good potential to have quite a few people going through and looking at your poster session. And so I was able to have some great conversations, and I'm just going to kind of talk a little bit about some of the things that came up during my poster session, and then at the end give some tips for people that might do a poster session at NEC in the future. Well, first of all, what I did to prepare, I guess I could back up a little bit. Basically, when you do a poster session at NEC, what they do is they provide you a place to present your idea or your concept, whatever you submitted to them. So they give you a long table, and then they also have a place behind that where it's kind of like one of those big bulletin board type things, although it's not a bulletin board, it's the actual like cloth. But you can put push pins, you can put any kind of poster, any kind of display up there. They also give you a LCD screen that you can hook up to your laptop so that you can show anything through a little bit wider or a little bit larger venue. They also give you a directed internet cord so that you have internet coming directly to your laptop, and a power supply. So when I was trying to prepare for this, I thought about maybe doing some type of large poster, but then you have to make sure you get the poster to the site and all that kind of stuff. So what I decided to do was just create some 8x10 pieces of paper, and had some different types of concepts and some pictures of students using technology in my classroom, things like that. And I printed those off in color on cardstock, and then I was able to just put those in my laptop case, and I made sure that I had that with me, you know, when we went on the plane, so if my luggage would have got lost or something, I have that with me. Didn't take up that much space. It was really easy to use. And basically when I got there, I just kind of put all the different pictures up on the background and hooked up my laptop and had it on the Speaking of History site and my classroom site, and I was able then to demonstrate to several people different things that were on the blog and several things that were on the classroom site. So pretty neat setup. I did have a one-sheet handout that just kind of gave a little bit of a really short overview, how we use Steadicast, how we use podcast, how we use blogs, and those types of things. And then, of course, it had the contact information on the bottom as far as the website and things like that. I did create a designated page on the classroom page for NEC, and basically what I did was just kind of talk a little bit about Web 2.0 in our classroom very briefly, and then I also had some links to some stories. For example, if someone's interested in the book blog project we did, I included the link to the article that I wrote for School Library Journal, which gives a lot more information than I could give on that page. So I had the story in USA Today linked. I had some of the various articles and things like that, so people could find out a little bit more if they wanted to go to that page. And I'll include that link in the show notes on the bottom of this podcast. Had some great discussions, gave out a lot of business cards, talked to some people that actually listen to the podcast, which for me is, you know, the biggest reward I can get when I hear that somebody actually does listen to the podcast. And so one of the first people that came up was Kyle Stevens. He's a teacher down in Dallas, Texas. And he told me he listens all the time. We had a great discussion about how they do some things with iPods in their school district. They have like a one-on-one iPod initiative. And so for me, when somebody comes up and says, hey, I love this show, I like to listen to it, that means more to me than anything. So that was amazing. Some other people that I talked to that stopped by that I knew, Christy Keeler from UNLV. She's a teacher that I've worked with on a couple occasions on some projects, and she's doing some amazing things with teaching teachers how to use technology in social studies out at UNLV, and so she stopped by. It was great to be able to talk to Christy. I also ran into an old friend, Charlene Schaas. I'm probably pronouncing her name wrong. She'll probably correct me next time I see her. And she teaches in Lincolnshire, Illinois, at the very acclaimed Adlai Stevenson High School. And she was a huge honoree this year at NEC. She actually was awarded the 2007 ISTE Outstanding Leader Award, and she had a presence at the keynote, and they gave her an award and everything. And so it was really neat to see her stop by. I talked to her in Chicago a couple summers ago at an activity, and so it was great to see her. Also talked to Catherine Aiken. She was involved with Discovery and now is doing some amazing, amazing things in Georgia with teachers and helping them out, and so it was great to be able to see her again. Also talked to Tom Hammond. I talked to Tom a little bit after his presentation on primary access. And again, he said that he likes to listen to the podcast, so it was great to be able to meet with somebody that listens and kind of follows along with what's happening in my class. And he's out at the University of Virginia, and I definitely am planning on doing a podcast with him about his resource called Primary Access. It's a great tool for creating video documentary things for students of all ages, really, in the classroom, and so I got to talk to him. And then also I met David Butler. He works for the United States Department of Education in the Office of Educational Technology. So we stopped, or he stopped by, and we had a discussion about using technology in the classroom and specifically social studies. And you know, anytime we can make a great connection with somebody at the United States Department of Education, they have such a far-reaching impact on what happens in education. I think that it's great if we can help them out and really, you know, show them some great examples of how we're using Web 2.0 in the classroom. Talked to a lot of librarians. A lot of people stop by when you ask, you know, what do you do, what do you teach, and things. Had a lot of librarians, and that's great. I talked to a lot of librarians locally in our own district and kind of in the Kansas City region, and there's some amazing applications, obviously, for things like blogs, and the book blog always kind of gains their attention a little bit right away, and podcasting. I think that I've probably had more like service education type things, programs for librarians than probably any other type of teacher in our district. I've tried to really make some connections with them, and they do an amazing job for me as far as getting me resources in our district. And so I'm really excited when I can teach them how to use Audacity or do different things that can help make the library come alive. My dad's a librarian. My brother has a librarian degree, so I have a place in my heart for librarians. And I do hope that a lot of the people that came by go back and share some of these resources with their history teachers. And quite a few people that say, oh, I teach with a guy that would love to be able to work with your class on the book blog, or I know this lady that teaches history that would really enjoy listening to some of these podcasts. So that's, you know, the great thing that we can kind of make these connections and stuff like that. So I'm always looking for more participants for our book blog project. We read a book called Guerrilla Season, and for 4 weeks we have an online interactive place where the author's involved with answering questions. We have students from around the country. We've already got somebody from California involved, and so we definitely want to make sure that we can get as many people as possible to participate. So I hope that some of those seeds that were planted kind of eventually grow into more classrooms around the country participating. And we'll probably do that in February. It looks like February of 2008. So you've got some time if you want to contact me and find out some more information about joining us on the book blog project. But it was really fun talking to people. And that's kind of one of the things I mentioned a little bit earlier with the poster session, that you have an advantage over just a normal session, is that some of the best moments of a session come right at the end when you're trying to pack everything up and get out of the way for the next person. People come up and have some great insight and some great connections. And really, a poster session is just that part of the session extended for 2 hours. You know, you have people that can come up, and you get the opportunity to do a lot more interactive discussion with people when you do the poster session. So I thought it was great. For example, you know, like I said earlier, Kyle talked about how they have a one-on-one iPod initiative in their school. I would love to do an interview with Kyle about how that works and kind of what it looks like and, you know, advantages, disadvantages, things like that. Now, if you're someone that is getting ready for a poster session next year at NEC, if you submit and you get to do a poster session, here are some recommendations from this year on what to maybe expect. And, you know, some of this stuff will carry over. Some of it might be different. But number one, bring push pins or bring some type of thing that will allow you to put your content up on the bulletin board behind you. And I was able to go to Kinko's the day before and buy some push pins, but I know a lot of people were, you know, asking me if they could borrow push pins and things like that. So if you can definitely pack those, pack a little thing of push pins and you can put all your stuff up. You could also probably just staple your things to the board as well. So I guess you could pack a stapler if you wanted to in your suitcase. Also, business cards are good to have. You know, people always want something to take away and they can look at later. I know I accumulate a lot of business cards throughout a conference like NEC, and then I go home and I try and write on the back, you know, where I met the person and kind of what the circumstances were. And then, you know, who knows if 3 or 4 months down the road, maybe you want to contact that person if you have an idea. But definitely have a business card available so people can grab something and put it in their pocket. And then also, I'd encourage trying to have one sheet handouts. I did one sheet, and I think I made about 100 copies, and those were gone probably about 3/4 of the way through. So, you know, have something available so people want to grab a sheet, they can read about it later. I know sometimes I'll go through poster sessions, and it looks like a great idea, and they might be swamped with, like, you know, 10 or 15 people talking to them. So I grab a sheet so that I can come back later and find out a little bit more about their project. Also, try and put your materials available online. I did that with the handout sheet, and then I also have that page that you can go to find out a little bit more about some of the projects. And then have a one-minute summary ready of your project. I think I've heard some people talk about this recently as the elevator pitch. So say you're in an elevator with somebody, you've got 30 seconds or a minute to try and basically summarize your project. Have that ready, because a lot of people will come up and they'll look at the display and they'll say, okay, what's your project like? And they don't want to sit there for 10, 15 minutes. They want to find out in a minute, is this something I can use? Something that, you know, I should pass on to somebody else? So have kind of a one-minute summary in your head ready to go where you can really highlight everything. And then what happened a lot of times was I gave that one-minute summary and then people would give an example or they'd have a specific question. And then you can go ahead and build on that question. So have that elevator speech ready to go. And then also visuals, like I said, I printed them off, put them in a folder. It saved quite a bit of space. And then I actually didn't pack them to come back. So, you know, they're already posted up there. I took them off and then basically just threw them away so that I didn't have to, you know, put them back on the airplane and all that kind of stuff. So it was a great experience. I loved talking to everybody that stopped by my booth. And I thank everybody that's a listener that stopped by the booth. I have a picture on the blog so you can see kind of what the booth looked like. Again, it's not like I spent, you know, an hour or something getting that ready, but just to give you an idea of what the booth looked like. And if you were able to stop by the blog, or I'm sorry, if you were able to stop by the poster session and you'd like to post a comment to the blog, you can go ahead and do that at www.speakingofhistory.blogspot.com, or you can send me an email directly at speakingofhistory@gmail.com. So thanks for listening, and remember, history is so much more than just a bunch of boring old dead guys. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk again soon. Bye.
The Speaking of History podcast is produced by Eric Langhorst in Liberty, Missouri, under a Creative Commons license. Visit the website for show notes and links to material in the podcast at www.speakingofhistory.blogspot.com. The podcast is also available on iTunes. Please email all comments and questions to speakingofhistory@gmail.com. Background music for the intro is Z from James Underberg from PodSafe Audio. Thanks for listening.